Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to gather in worship on this fifth Sunday of this season that we call Eastertide as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to encourage everyone to please sign the registration sheet and please pass that along to your neighbors. And in your bulletin, please take note of the announcement page that lists the upcoming activities in the fellowship of our congregation. Ladies, please be aware of the CWF Steering Committee meeting that's taking place tomorrow. And of course, your generosity in providing for our church's food pantry is always appreciated. The announcement page lists some of the items that are currently needed. Also, two Sundays from now, on the 21st of May, we'll be recognizing our graduates from among the families of our church. And on that same Sunday morning, we will be having our promotion of the Sunday school classes in both of the worship services, and we will also award the Erga Myers Children's Bible Storybook and other Bible study guides for our children and youth who have achieved the attendance goals for this past quarter. Also, during that Sunday school hour, our children will be having a party that is in memory of Melanie Doak, who passed into the Lord's presence earlier this year, and certainly love to support our children in Sunday school. Also, Dorinda Hoke has made prints available of that painting of Jesus that hangs in the foyer just by the water fountain. There is information in your bulletin. If you would like to acquire one of those prints, you can do so by checking in with Carol in the church office. And I think we need to call on Bob Knopf at the present moment for our Minute for Mission. Bob?
Lot of work. You're probably, oh yeah, first thing, good morning. You might probably wonder how a lifeboat has anything to do with our Moment for Missions, which is the Clay County clothes closet. So let me tell you a little story about my stepmother, Marty, who was a foster parent. It wasn't unusual for her to get a phone call in the middle of the night when a child or children were rescued from a bad situation and needed a place to stay. They would arrive with nothing but the clothes on their back. So the following day, one of the first things Marty would do would be to take the children to Clay County Clothes Closet for some new, gentle, used clothes. This helped the child to feel a sense of safety and dignity. So in many ways that we aren't even aware of, Clay County Clothes Closet is a lifeboat for so many. As summer approaches and you start cleaning out your closets, please donate your gently used items of all sizes, youth and adults. There will be a collection box in the foyer by the elevator. Thank you for the love and support for your mission and outreach program here at Berry. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise God with shouts of joy, all people.
Sing to the glory of his name. Offer him glorious praise.
Come and listen, all who honor God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. This is the testimony. that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We'll now sing hymn number 5, all stanzas of O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of God's grace. Jesus, a name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. My loving Savior and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, we assemble in this sanctuary to worship and honor your holy name. Here in your house, we find assurance and comfort in the presence of our fellow believers. Here in your house, we feel close to your living presence through the blessing of your Holy Spirit. As Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the name of Christ, we offer this prayer in praise and thanksgiving. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. And may our children please come forward for the children's moment.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Morning. Everybody good this morning? Yeah, it's all doing good. I want to read from the Bible in the book of John. It's John 13:34. And this is Jesus speaking. And what he says is, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another." But didn't Jesus tell us all the time that we're supposed to love our neighbors? Yeah, I thought we already knew that. But the difference is, this is new, because Jesus isn't saying love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus is saying love your neighbor the way Jesus loves you, which is a much bigger love. It's a love that puts us where we think of others first. We serve others. We even sometimes give up some of our rights. For instance, bless you, baby. If somebody's being really mean to me, if somebody's hitting me, or do I have a right to be mad? I have a right to be, but that's not what God wants us to be. We have to forgive, don't we? We have to always forgive. That's what it means to love the way Jesus loves. And boy, can that be hard sometimes. Can't it? But we try. We always try to give more than we take, to think of others more than we think of ourselves, and to always be forgiving. I think one of the best things everybody could do for themselves is read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at least once a week. It's called the love chapter. It tells you everything you need to know. Shall we have a prayer? Can we bow our heads, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all these beautiful children. We thank you for all of the love, the grace, the mercy that you show us each and every day. May we learn from the example of Christ and return all of this back to everyone in our lives. Help us today to hear the words we need to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we go quietly?
For our prayer and praise this time, we want to lift up that today at 1:30 we're having the service for Lois Strzok, mother of Gail Gentry. It'll be, again, immediately right after our May Fellowship lunch here in the sanctuary, 1:30 today. Also, Catherine O'Neill passed into the Lord's presence on Thursday night of this past week in a conversation with her family members. It looks like her service will be probably about a month from now, because they need to find a time that all the family members can gather together. Also, in our family system, Tom Jones, who is the father of my brother-in-law, Robert Jones, my sister's father-in-law, passed into the Lord's presence in the early morning hours of Friday of this past week, and his services will be next week in Texas, so I will be leaving immediately after the services next Sunday in order to make that journey to Texas in order to officiate at Tom's service. Also, we want to be mindful for Michael and Christina that they have family members in Sudan who are in, having difficulties again as a consequence of all the war situation that's going on in Sudan. So Michael, you and your family members are in our prayers. We also want to lift up Philip Woods. He is the grandson of Linda Rapp. Linda, we're mindful of concerns for Philip. Philip is recovering from a gunshot wound to his colon as a result of a random shooting event at a store in Independence two Saturdays ago. So we keep Philip in our prayers in the midst of his recovery. Also, we want to lift up Leighton and Diana Walls. Leighton is going to be having surgery for this hematoma of the brain that he's been dealing with now for about a week and a half or so. That surgery will take place Friday at North Kansas City Hospital. Word of praise for Jerry and Betty Donahue, as Jerry and Betty and I were all over at the research hospital this past week, and that's when Jerry got the word that he's on that transplant list. Right? Praise God, Jerry. So, that's been a long journey for you, a year and a half, Jerry, so bless you. We are praying for success in this journey. We also want to lift up Lana. You're in our prayers in the midst of heart concerns, and Carol Cook with her heart concerns. She was at the early service. We also lift up Alice Estes as she is in hospice care at home. Larry Pitt says he's in the midst of his recovery. Rihanna Ralston, as she's still awaiting testing results. And of course, Psalm, we certainly keep your son Johnny in our prayers in the midst of his time at the rehabilitation center there in Denver. Bless you all. So a number of concerns. And Michael, I couldn't help but wonder if you knew of any of the folks being affected by that tornado who went through Trenton. It was the Methodist Church that got hit. Okay. Well, we're certainly keeping you all in prayer. Bless you all. Bless you. Again, we just one more variable of issues people having to deal with, and it seems like the list just keeps going on and on. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise as we assemble in your house this Lord's Day morning. We proclaim, as did the psalmist, that every day we will thank you. We will praise you forever and ever, for you are great and are to be highly praised. Your greatness is beyond understanding. In many ways, we realize that we fall short in seeking and certainly in following your ways. Our pride, our ego, our sense of self-righteousness all prompt us to act in harmful ways that can cause us to drift further and further away from the harmony you desire for all your children. Merciful God, we mourn with dismay the violence, the willful choices of evil conduct that cause great and permanent harm, even to the youngest and most defenseless among us. For those so deeply affected, we pray that your Spirit's comfort and the loving grace of many may offer solace and hope that justice will one day prevail and grace may be afforded to one and all among us. Forgive us our transgressions, O God, and help us as a society, nation, city, community, and family to discover the true peace that comes from knowing you. May we strive to care for one another as brothers and sisters who are all a part of your singular and loving and compassionate family. Help each of us to discover the true renewal that comes from focusing on Christ, your Son and our Savior. For Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, When anyone is joined to Christ, that person is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. We offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We do not know the origin of the words or the tune of the Southern Christian folk hymn that we sing this morning for our communion hymn. But ever since the early 1800s, the words of this song have given us pause to consider the great love of God as he sent his only Son into the world to be our Savior as a portion of the first verse states, "What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul." Our communion hymn, it's number 200, as we sing stanzas 1 and 2 of "What Wondrous Love Is This." As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Ed leads us in a word of prayer.
God, we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread and wine to the souls of all those who receive them, that may have eat and drink in remembrance of the body of and blood of your Son and witness to you. In your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. recent weeks, the grasses, trees, and flowers have sprung forth their brilliant colors. The natural surroundings have quickly brought forth the spring season. The replenishment of the land reminds us that God desires to offer genuine renewal and hope in all things. In turn, we give a portion of our resources for God's purposes in thanksgiving for the abundance of God's blessings. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. Mike leads us in our word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Lord, open our hearts so that we may walk with you each day consistently. We lift up your offerings, our offerings, in obedience to your will. May your goodness and mercy overflow in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading I share with you, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. The Apostle Paul is writing here as he says, I passed on to you what I have received, which is of greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the Scriptures, that he was buried, and then he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, and then to all the 12 apostles, and then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, and afterward to all the apostles. May we have a word of prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, as we continually study your word and as we especially contemplate your Son's presence among us in his resurrected form, as Eastertide draws toward its closure this year, may we truly appreciate the value of the living testimony of Christ, which is the only way the Christian faith endures from generation to generation. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As I walked out of Catherine O'Neill's hospital room this past Thursday evening, I would have never guessed that it would be the last time that I saw Catherine here on earth. We both knew her time was drawing to a close, and over the last several days we'd talked about, on many occasions, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, and Catherine knew that she was truly spiritually ready to have this earthly life come to a close and for her spirit to share in God's great glory. Yet this past Thursday evening, Catherine was so very much alert and did not appear to be in any appreciable pain. Catherine was scheduled to go into hospice care on the second floor on Friday afternoon, and we thought that the journey of her earthly departure would indeed probably take several days. But then that night, the Lord called Catherine home. And it is with certainty that I know her spirit dwells in God's divine care. In the mid-1980s, I was a hospital chaplain. The evening hours, just like it was with Catherine, were always good times to visit with patients. No test being done, no doctor's visits, no hustle, no bustle, just passing time. It was a good time for reflection with patients, then as now. But on one such evening in the 80s, the gentleman I was visiting with was reflecting on his faith in God, in Christ, and upon his life's work. He was glad to be a man of faith. He was proud also of the fact that he had pulled himself out of poverty. He talked of owning outright his own home. He talked of owning two rattly trap cars, one for his wife and one for getting back and forth to work. Yet as I sat in a chair at his bedside, in mid-sentence, his body suddenly lurched forward. He then slumped back. All kinds of alarms went off as he experienced an immense cardiac arrest. I stepped aside as the room filled with medical staff members who tried to revive him. But in that flash of a moment that I experienced with him, I knew at that moment that he was gone from this world. Yet from our previous conversations, I knew with confidence that his soul resided in God's loving care. You see, the truth is, we never know just how long we have to dwell on this earthly world. We like to pretend through our occupation and preoccupation with a lot of things material that we'll live on, maybe forever, we think. But for none of us, it's never forever on this earth. Ascension Day will soon be upon us, 11 days from now, the Thursday of May the 18th. It's the day that commemorates Christ's ascension into heaven with the conclusion of his 40-day presence among his followers in his resurrected form. So even the allotted time for our resurrected Lord had a time of conclusion. 40 days, and that was all. So as we reflect upon all that we've learned about our resurrected Lord and the messages that I have shared with you over the last several weeks, we must ask ourselves, well, what remains? What remains of Jesus? There are no artifacts about Jesus, no clothes, no jewelry, no items to put in a museum, not even a 401k. No spouse, no sons, no daughters, no grandchildren. No houses or other property for anyone to inherit. None of these things that we seem to absorb so much of our time thinking about, preserving, and attempting to pass on to others. Only one thing remains about Jesus. It is the testimony about him, the testimony about his purpose for coming here to this earth in the first place. And we know what that testimony is all about, that Jesus dwelt among us to instruct us about God's love. Jesus offered himself as that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. Jesus died on the cross for sin, our sin. And yet on the third day, Jesus was resurrected from the dead to claim victory over sin and even death itself. Then Jesus appeared in his resurrected form for those 40 days to give us just a hint of what it's like to be spiritual. And you know, that's the most favorite part. Because as you read those stories in the latter portions of the Gospels, here you have Jesus in his resurrected form. He has these appearances on his body of the terrible wounds that he suffered, but they caused him no trouble. He had this profound ability to be able to talk and converse, to share a meal, to be in fellowship with his followers, to be recognizable, and yet also the power to walk through solid doors. Doesn't the hint of Christ's resurrected form just give you some measure of hope? That whatever illness a loved one has gone through, its significance is abolished. I think that's the favorite part, my favorite part. You know, I look forward to being in a spiritual form where I can stand up straight and where I can stand and not be in pain. What about you? What do you anticipate when you think of being in that resurrected form? This was what Christ was in. And for 40 days, as he dwelt among his people. And yet we know that on Ascension Day, he returned to heaven to claim his place at the right side of God. And as he ascended, he instructed his disciples. As we look at the text there in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, the text says that Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go then to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. How do you do that? Through the testimony, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then Jesus also says, and I will be with you always. But how is he with us always? Again, his spiritual self is, you know, the physical self is gone. It ascended. That spiritual physical essence is gone. But he said, tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the next big event, for the Holy Spirit will come and descend among you. So we have the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of godliness with us every day as long as we live. And so on the season of Eastertide, as it begins to come to a close, even as next Sunday will be the time that we'll focus on Mother's Day, because preachers got to talk about mothers on Mother's Day, right? Or I'm in trouble. And then the week after that, of course, we're going to be involved in celebrating our graduates, and of course, we'll be also promoting our young people in Sunday school and honoring their achievements. Yes, Eastertide is coming to a close, but what remains? The testimony. It is absolutely the most important aspect of the Christian faith. We must share with others what we know about Jesus. We must share about the great love that Jesus Christ expressed to others. Nothing else on earth is more important. Back in 1993, my father died at the Veterans Hospital in Waco. He had been so sick for so long that when he died, there was absolutely not even a shred of clothing that needed to be sent home to family members. For all the stuff you have, for all your preoccupation with that stuff, imagine passing from this earth and there not even being one personal item. You know, we used to take pictures. I still have very vivid memory of taking the picture of Jonathan's when he was just a few hours old. Framed it, got a nice frame for it. I still remember placing it on the nightstand and trying to also show my father, Dad, this is your grandson. And what was significant about that, most of all, was that my son was the only child to carry forth the patient's family name to the next generation. Just like our newborn grandson now is the only child to take the patient's name to the fourth generation from my father. I'm not Jewish, but I find that important. Don't you? I remember that, but I also know when I set that picture on the nightstand, I knew it wouldn't last because every picture we'd ever taken to our father disappeared. I don't know. Maybe frames were popular. Well, we weren't about to argue about anything because he got the best care we could ever hope for. What's a picture frame? What's a picture? They always disappear. Don't know why. He didn't move. Same place. We don't know. I'm not going to argue about it. But imagine you passing away and there's nothing to pass on. I remember when my grandfather died, he had lived with us until he passed away. My mother bringing out a little cigar box of personal items and asking all of us at the table, well, what would you like about Grandpa? These odds and, you know, pocket knife, watch, this, that, and the other. It's profound when our lives get reduced to nothing, but the truth of the matter is that's what happens, right? This past Friday, as I mentioned, my brother-in-law's father, Tom Jones, passed into the Lord's presence. Tom and my father were essentially of the same age, only a few months apart. My father would have been 93 last month if he would still been alive. Tom would have been 93 if he'd lived till October. But what was remarkable about both men is that they were both elders at the Christian church that our families attended as all of us kids were growing up. And both of them lived a testimony of faithfulness to God. And in Tom's passing, as also in my father's, what's left? Memories? Stuff to pass out, maybe. Really, what lasts is a testimony. Because the children all became people of faith, and all the grandchildren are becoming people of faith. And so, even as Eastertide comes to a close, we must ask of ourselves, what remains of Jesus? That which is most important, the testimony that we share with others. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord. We so often live our Christian faith incognito when we're going about our daily task. And that is not what we should do. The sign outside says, testify of Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 6. I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We stand and turn to our hymn of invitation, number 595, Be Thou My Vision. And for the sake of time, let's sing the first verse. For the sake of time, first verse. May we stand, please.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house. Again, a reminder, the May birthday lunch immediately after the service today. Hope you can stay. And again, 1:30 we'll have the memorial service for Lois Strzok. May we pray. Lord God, your Spirit empowers us and grants us the privilege to be a living testimony by what we do and say. Guide us in that task as we depart from your house. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
That makest me